his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had used another analogy to show how bhakti is always with us and how it is so important to have guidance if one wants to obtain the treasure of bhakti. This is the analogy. Once there was a poor man who heard that both of his parents had died while traveling through a foreign country. Now, somehow or other, this man knew that his parents had left him a great treasure. But where was the treasure? Are you loud enough for it? Yes? You can hear all the translation is clear to you? Yeah, of course. Maybe a little louder. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You want that it is, you need it louder so that you can hear it. Oh yeah, that's very important. Yeah, otherwise you give your own class. Maybe what I can do is I can try to bring it closer. Hare Krishna, oops. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the microphone, then it should be in my direction. We are still practicing, so please forgive us. It's still, we are not yet perfect. Is this a little better? Yeah? Okay. Also the timings, we are very sorry, but because there's so much oxygen in the air, we feel as very tired. You also. It's really like good for sleeping, the island of Kish. We will also make therefore longer pauses. We will tell you in the evening. We have made a little change in the program so that there's more time for resting. Yes. So that Krishna Katha doesn't become a stress. So there was this man, both of his parents had gone to a foreign country and they both had died there. This man knew my parents had a big treasure for me, but now where the parents were dead, they couldn't tell him where it was. So this man heard both of my parents have died in a foreign country. Where is the treasure of the family? He looked here and there. It was just like a soul in this world. Who knows? There is somewhere a treasure for me, but who doesn't know how to get to the treasure, who does not know how to claim it. Our man was growing desperate. He tried so many times, but finally he thought, I need help. So he went to an astrologer. I'm so poor, he said. I need your help. Where can I get riches? And the astrologer did some calculations. And he said, oh, your parents cared very much for you. They left you a great treasure. I know, I feel this, said the poor man. But where is it? Oh, said the astrologer, according to my calculations, your treasure is right underneath your own house. But be careful. If you come and dig from the south, there are many bees who will sting you. If you come from the western direction, you will find a terrible ghost. He will kill you. If you come from the northern direction, there's also danger. There is a snake. When the man heard this, he said, is it then all right if I come from the eastern direction? Is there no danger? And the astrologer calculated and said, yes, only if you come from the eastern direction can you get the treasure which is waiting for you. The man acquired a shovel and he went to the eastern direction. From the eastern direction, dark and dark and dark. And when he came very deep, he could actually get the treasure. So this is an analogy. Our parents are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna has, and Radha Krishna, they have left a wonderful treasure for each one of us. Without this treasure, we are very poor in this life. Without this treasure, we are becoming desperate and more desperate. To get this treasure, we must find the right direction in our lives, the right orientation. The path of karma is compared to be the southern direction. The path of jnana is compared to be the western direction, and the path of jnana is the northern direction. The path of bhakti, however, is the direction which brings success to our life. It is the path of bhakti. And it is about this path which we will speak today and the next days. You start the bhakti, your path of bhakti, if you meet the devotees of Lord Krishna. In rare cases, Krishna can directly appear in the life of a devotee. But in most of the cases, Lord Krishna chooses to appear before other conditioned souls by empowering devotees and by appearing in the hearts of these devotees. When you meet such a devotee who has deep faith in Krishna and you hear from him, then also your faith will start. The first step into the palace of bhakti always goes through the door of shraddha, of faith. You cannot enter the palace of bhakti through any other door. You must enter it through the door of faith. That's very, very important. As you are advancing in the path of bhakti, your shraddha or your faith is also supposed to advance and become stronger and stronger and stronger. Also, as you are advancing, your shraddha or faith will come to a stage where it cannot be shaken any longer, where it is very fixed and firm and very strong. Whatever happens, whatever challenges you have in your spiritual life, nothing, absolutely nothing, will be able to shake your faith. That is called, this faith, this unshakable faith is called nishtha. It's a strong, strong faith. This nishtha comes about by the powerful preaching of devotees, but also by your own experiences in spiritual life. If you want that your faith becomes stronger, you have to learn to act and go a little bit out of your own comfort zone. Mostly we meet Krishna outside of our comfort zone. When we surrender more, when we do something which may be a little risky, when we, yes, comfort zone. How do we say comfort zone? Yes, mantareyam, yes. Yes, we mostly meet Krishna out of our mantareyam, our comfort zone, yes. And you, Krishna likes when a devotee surrenders, when a devotee does something which he ordinarily would not do, when a devotee does something just because of Krishna and for no other reason, then when a devotee does this, the Lord becomes very much moved, and he sees. Or here my devotee does something for me which he ordinarily would never do. Oh, here my devotee is very, very faithful, and it is described at such a time the heart of the Lord will develop, it says a wave will develop in the ocean-like heart of the Lord. It's a wave of kripa, a wave of mercy, which then flows in the direction of his devotee. And the devotee feels, my life changes. If you wish to make quick advancement, my dear devotees, do something which you ordinarily would not consider to do. For instance, coming to Kish for evening or for a week of sadhu sangha and of hearing about Lord Krishna. This is described. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to his devotee Sanatan Goswami, yes, it's nice to close the door. We are having a children's room so that they can talk loud. You can close the door. The children can be loud, but behind closed doors. So, I want to now say exactly how the scriptures describe the spiritual advancement of a soul. They say when a devotee, you know, when you meet a devotee, you get from this meeting a seed. How do we say seed? Yes, yes. This sounds correct. We get a seed, and we have to plant the seed into our own heart and water it so that it becomes slowly a little green thing comes out of the ground and becomes a fully grown tree. This is very, very, very important. Krishna consciousness is always a cultivation of the heart. Krishna consciousness is not so much about what others do or do not do. Krishna consciousness is highly subjective. It's what you do in the garden of your heart. Sometimes devotees waste a lot of time with conflicts which appear when others are acting in ways which we have not expected them to behave. They become disturbed and so on. By these conflicts, one sometimes can miss the whole point of Krishna consciousness, which is a highly subjective experience, like any experience is. It means to cultivate the seed of bhakti in the garden of your own heart. It's very important. When my father, when my grandfather, who was a very wise person, saw that I was very restless and very, I would say, very naughty as a little child. I was about 10 times as temperamental as little Satya. My grandfather thought we must give this boy a sense of responsibility. So he went with me into his garden and he sowed a seed with me. He said, "You have to take care of the seed." And I remember I would come every week to pour some water on the seed, and the seed grew and grew and grew into a big tree eventually. One whole summer I was absent from home, and I returned in the autumn, and my grandfather rang me up, I still remember it, and said, "You have forgotten what I gave you." And he called me, I had really forgotten, I was a little older, and he showed me my tree. It was very dry and was very sad that I had forgotten my friend, the tree. I can never forget this picture. My grandfather said, "I'm not satisfied with you. You could have told someone that you would go, and someone could have brought the water in your stead, but you have entirely forgotten. This is not good." I feel always in this, when I think of this, I feel that this was Prabhupada, my eternal spiritual master, preparing me for Krishna consciousness. My grandfather was a very spiritual man, really. So later Prabhupada gave this example to us, and I felt very grateful to have received it. He said, when you meet the spiritual master, you will get a seed of bhakti in your heart, and it is now your responsibility to take care of the plant of bhakti by watering it regularly. I visited the place of my parents in December in the middle of December, and my first reaction was, where is my tree, please? And I went to my tree. I greeted my parents, but I also wanted to greet my tree. And when I looked at my tree, I felt very deeply satisfied. By now I had made an arrangement that someone else takes care of the tree, because I'm traveling all over Germany and I don't have... the tree is in good shape. The tree is very well. But the bhakti tree or the bhakti plant is something which no one else can pour water on. It will accept water only from you, from no one else. You forget it. There's no one, not even your husband or your wife, who can take care of this important watering which needs to be going on. An ordinary tree, you can find a representative of yourself and he can do the watering, like I have found for my tree. But for the tree of bhakti, it is you and you only who need to come every day and do your important work. How does a devotee take care of the initial seed? Let us ask another question. What is the seed of bhakti? The seed of bhakti is a certain knowledge about your relationship with Krishna, that which is given to you by yours, by the spiritual school or by the spiritual master under which you are learning. You are explained, oh human, you are really an eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Oh Siddheshwari, you can relate to Krishna in five types of relationship, but in order to start your relationship to Krishna, you can only go through one relationship. In the beginning, there's only one relationship in which we can approach Krishna. When we are perfected souls, then there are five relationships. The relationship through which you have to start your spiritual life is the Dasya Rasa. You have to come as a servant. Later, there will be other relationships, like the friends of Lord Krishna, the parents of Krishna, the lovers of Lord Krishna. But in the beginning, the Dasya Rasa, or the relationship of a servant, is the only practical relationship through which we can start our relationship with Lord Krishna. Not in other ways it is possible. This is very, very important understanding, or very important knowledge. You will also know that all other relationships to Krishna have an element of dasya, of service in them. The friends of Krishna are serving Krishna, the parents are serving Krishna, also the confidential lovers, and they will serve Krishna. So, because dasya rasa can be found in all other relationships, it is also the relationship in which we start our relationship to Krishna, even at a time when we do not yet know our original spiritual form and identity, our original service which we are doing. in this world. In other words, you cannot go wrong when you serve God. It's always right in all relationships. So therefore, you start here. Hare Krishna. So the duties of a person who wants to cultivate the seed of devotional service and develop it into a strong plant of bhakti are threefold. The first kind of duty are to apply those practices which contain the spiritual energy. Shravana and Kirtana, hearing every day about Krishna, Krishna's holy name, and chanting is very, very, very instrumental. Hearing about Lord Krishna is called Shravanam, and Kirtanam is to talk about Krishna consciousness in a very deep manner. It's a service. It's a devotional service. As you sit here and you hear about Krishna conscious subject matters, you actually perform an important service. If you chant your rounds, Hare Krishna, then this is a devotional service which you perform. You really do come here for service. Hare Bol. Yes. But they do not want to go to the airport. Yes. This is a problem. Yeah. Hare Krishna. When you sit here, you are performing devotional service. Did you know this? Moli, when you listen to Krishna conscious katha, it's devotional service. It will go directly to the seed of bhakti, which is already there in the heart. It will give water to the seed of bhakti, and the bhakti seed will grow and grow and grow. Hare Krishna. Even if you are, someone has to see that the diversions are kept to the minimum. This door, for instance, would have to be closed. I have noted all over the world, devotees do not think very carefully about practical matters. It is in Germany the case, it is in Russia the case, and you have passed the test also. It is in Persia the case also. And the idea is, because we want to concentrate a maximum, therefore we need to keep the distractions down to a minimum. That's the idea. So doors where some distraction is going on, like the children room, should always be closed. Huh? Yes. So the first duty for someone who has received the seed of bhakti is to water it with the processes of devotional service, mainly Shravanam and Kirtanam, but there are altogether 9 processes of devotional service, which I'm sure you also know. Meditating about Lord Krishna is called Smaranam. Serving the deity is called Archanam. And in this way, there are 9 processes of devotional service which you execute to give water or nourishment to the to your Krishna consciousness, which is there in a very, very small form, like a seed or a little plant. If you want that your plant becomes very strong, then you need to hear better and more. If you want that your plant becomes very strong, then you need to chant better and more. And in this way, you need to become a good gardener of the seed of devotional service. There's never an overdoses in hearing and chanting. Like there may be an overdoses in water. There's only a lack of, or too little of hearing and chanting. The second thing is, you have to protect the seed of devotional service from worldly influences. That's why it's very important for practicing devotees to keep a circle of devotional friends. We call it the Bhakti Vriksha program. We come together in Tehran or in here in Kish, and we keep devotional friendship. If you have a association with devotees, you create something like a very good fence around the tree of the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of Bhakti. If you have no devotional friends, but have friends from the world, there will be not much protection for the seed of your Krishna consciousness. And when there is no protection for the seed or the little plant of Krishna consciousness, your little plant of bhakti, it will quickly be destroyed by outside influences. Who has made an experience of this? All of us. Does the bhakti tree ever dry up? Yes. There is a possibility for the bhakti tree to dry up. Mostly, the bhakti tree dries up in this way. Do we want to know it?
No.
It's good to know. Then we avoid the danger. It's a little cold on the floor. The way the bhakti tree can dry up is by making a very grievous mistake. See, we all have received our bhakti tree from a devotee. Ultimately, we are here in this movement for Krishna consciousness. We feel we have received the bhakti tree from Srila Prabhupada. And if a devotee would make an offense against the source of his bhakti, this would amount to spiritual suicide. It is called that this offense against a pure devotee is like the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant comes into a garden, it tramples all the plants in the garden, and it uproots the plants. It may take its trunk and its tusks and go like, and then when these plants are uprooted, they can also become dry. So if we make the mad elephant offense, it's really called like this, the offense against a pure devotee, the plant will be uprooted and then it will dry and die. This is how it is explained. Mm-hmm. So there are two duties in relationship to the plant. Also, an offense against all pure devotees and against all devotees can uproot actually the plant of bhakti. Krishna himself withdraws his mercy from someone who has made an offense against Vaishnavas in general. It is described in our scripture, when you do an offense against Vaishnavas, then the processes of devotional service do not have any longer spiritual strength for you. In other words, someone who is an offender against the Vaishnavas may chant Hare Krishna, but instead of nourishing the plant of devotion by chanting Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra will turn against the offender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that an offender against Vaishnavas may take baths in the holy river Ganga. Ganga, 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 Ganga. But Mother Ganga turns against the offender and gives him problems. So you can understand the science of Krishna consciousness is a very personal science. It involves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the science of Krishna consciousness also involves the personalities of Vaishnavas. The spiritual energy which comes from the processes of devotional service will actually not nourish you, but turn against you when you are offender of Vaishnavas. There is a very easy way to avoid Vaishnava aparad, Vaishnava offense. And that is that you concentrate your mind on what good qualities the devotees have. It is described that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a way to help devotees who were against each other, who had developed conflict. He would call these devotees together, devotee A and devotee B. He would sit them down and he would say to devotee A, devotee A, now find something good in devotee B. Then he would say to devotee B, and now find something good in devotee A. So most probably such a session would start with devotee A saying to devotee B, I'm so happy that you sleep in an ashram. This is a good quality. And devotee B would maybe say to devotee A in a quite disgruntled way and angry way, it's so good that at least you eat prasadam, big quantities of prasadam. You know, and in this way, they would start by telling something nice. I think this we can find about any devotee. Not this minimum of qualification. I'm so happy, Krishna Das, that you put on tilak. It's a very good quality. And you will see there is a certain dynamics in talking or thinking positive about someone. At the moment you start thinking or talking positive about someone, you want to think more positive things. There's a certain, but if you start with a negativity, Hare Krishna, my dear temperamental Persian devotees. If you start with something negative, then you will for sure find something more negative, and more negative, and more negative. Please try this when you go back to Tehran. I'm sure every one of you knows one devotee whom he or she does not like. I can see this in your heart. It's very easy for me to see. So please make this exercise with that devotee. You think something positive. Even when you go to bed, before you go to bed, this is the first exercise. Tomorrow I will ask you how it worked. So you better better make the test. No. It's just 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Because there are so many. Because you have to think. No. There are so many. Oh, Krishna. So, no, you kindly do this. Make one experiment. Don't look at me so skeptical. It works. 100%. 100%. It will work. Okay? We will try. Amir, we will try. We will try. Good. Let's see what is happening. Let us make an experiment. We want to make some spiritual experiences, so we will try this. Even though it is a little difficult for us, but we will try. We are all for experiments. Because you need this. You cannot have an offensive mind against the devotees of Krishna. And at the same time, chant Krishna's name. Krishna likes all his devotees. He forgives all his devotees. Krishna tolerates all his devotees. He even tolerates us. So Krishna does not wish if we become unfriendly towards his devotees. He feels hurt in his heart. He feels just like, imagine we want to keep a good relationship with parents, but we hate their children. Then the parents will not allow us to come into their living room. They will not. They will not allow us. You do not like the person who is so close to me, who I have such a high opinion of, and then the parents are not happy with us. Yes. Yes, so two things are there. Let us now again talk about the philosophy. We have to hear and chant and give water to the Bhakti Lata beach, and then we have to fence it with with the association of good devotees. There may be nice non-devotees. I think we all know friendly people, maybe our relatives who are really nice. I can imagine that some of them have very high ethical principles and so on. But still, they cannot help us to develop bhakti. And if we have only association with such people, our devotion might dwindle, and some enemies of bhakti might come lust, might come greed, might come illusion, might come, and these enemies to our bhakti might come and eat on our plant. So therefore we need to have the association of devotees and circle ourselves. That's why I really wish to encourage all of you to start many bhakti sanghas or bhakti bhakti sangha groups in your town Tehran, where you associate with each other while chanting the holy names, while reading from the scriptures, while doing kirtans, and so on and so forth. It's a very, very important for your bhakti lata beach. And I will speak later a little bit more about it when I come more to the practical dimensions of spiritual life. The last or third duty in relationship to gardening the garden of the heart is you must be willing to weed the weeds. What are weeds? Yes, these are the unwanted plants which come. A devotee must be very honest, in other words. He must be very self-analytical. As you develop in your bhakti, things can come which are called unwanted plants. The first is the tendency to find faults in others. Fault finding. Did you hear what so and so did wrong? No, I didn't hear. Please tell me, I'm highly interested. This is a very bad quality, finding faults in others. The other quality is called a diplomatic behavior. You are not honest with others. You are sometimes behaving like this to get your goals and your profit, but in your heart you are thinking in a totally different way. This crooked behavior or diplomatic behavior is an unwanted plant which can create problems for the real plant of bhakti, the bhakti lata beach. Another thing which which creates problems is called nishidacha. Nishidacha is activities which are unacceptable for a spiritual person, but you do it secretly and so on. You have your secret bottle of alcohol. Some spirit. It helps my bhakti. I can chant more concentrated. This unacceptable behavior for someone on the path of bhakti, which he performs in secret, is something which must be given up by all in all cases. Nishidacha. Then another thing is, when you follow the path of bhakti, others might give you some respect. Oh, you are an older devotee. You are a brahmana. Let us bring a cushion for you. Others don't get a cushion, but you get a cushion. And we will feel some pratishta, some pride coming up in our heart, and the desire to be recognized by others. This is a very common thing which happens in the circle of young devotees. When you give a young devotee a little position, you are the one who keeps order in the room. Without me, this meeting cannot take place. I'm the one who keeps order in the room. I'm cleaning the room. This is amazing for an educated person to feel this pride. You think, why is this pride happening to this very educated person? Why is he feeling proud that he can clean the room? It is because when you try to develop the bhakti plant in this world, there will be weeds. And the weeds will just come. No one knows from where the weeds are. Do we have weeds in Kish? From where are they coming? From the birds. They eat. And then they go, and then they have the birds dropping weed. So in this world, the material energy will somehow work always against us developing bhakti, in the beginning at least. And therefore, all kinds of weed droppings are coming from Maya herself, which come in our heart. And even an educated person who had a high character, all of a sudden develops a most embarrassing weed. How do we say the word embarrassing?
Shamova.
Yeah, this sounds correct. Shamova. Yeah, the Shamova. Yeah, yeah, it's similar to Hindi, says Sachi Devi. Yes. It is so shamova. Yes, the most embarrassing weeds come up. A grown-up person behaves like a little child from the ghetto. You know, see. Yes. And two other weeds are very similar. You want always your profit in whatever you do. And finally, you want to be worshipped. Hare Krishna. You want to get garlands. You want to get a foot wash. You want to be the big guru. Haribo, this is a weed. This is dangerous in Krishna consciousness. Just like weeds are dangerous when the plant is still so young. They can take the sun away from the plant, and then the plant cannot grow any longer, and it can dry and it can fall to the ground. So three duties, you remember? Watering and nourishing the plant, protecting it by the circle of devotees, and avoiding the six types of weeds. For this you must be very, very honest with yourself and be able to look into your heart. Dwarakadish Prabhu, can I have your notebook for 1 second? You will get it back. May I use your pen also, Dwarakadish Prabhu?
Yours. This pen is yours.
This, my pen is...
Yeah, it's going to be yours.
Thank you very much for this amazing present. In bhakti, in good bhakti, there are two types of development. One is called an objective line, and the other is called a this pen is a mystical Sufi pen. It's objective. It works. But it sometimes works and sometimes does not work. A new one, yes, it's a new one. So, look at this, my dear devotees, please. Your plant in Krishna consciousness grows, okay? Others can see it. But if you really want to make an advancement, the more you become advanced, there must be a subjective line of advancement. It is called the line of humility. You think of yourself less. Humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, it means to think of yourself less. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Don't think so often about yourself. This is very, very, very important. Mostly, those who only advance material energy gives them pride. More and more pride. I'm a great yogi. I'm a great Hare Krishna devotee. I'm a great ISKCON man. If a tree grows, it must grow in two directions. One is up and one is down. The roots must go deeper. Because if the tree carries more weight, the roots must be stronger. Do you agree?
Of course.
Of course. We know this from gardening. Yes. What do you think, Sachi Devi? It's an amazing point, isn't it? You will find that pure devotees, or the real devotees, knowing about this development in two directions. I have made it like this. I could also make it like this, you know, a line of more humility. But I wanted to make it interesting, because humility means you're not proud of yourself. It means another direction. It's very, very important. So many have fallen. They have chanted so many rounds, done so much service. But they thought, oh, I'm a great devotee. I'm actually, objectively, a great devotee. I know more. I can control my senses better. I do not smoke cigarettes any longer. I can concentrate my mind. And everyone believed it. But this subjective line is, oh Krishna. See, when you have more understanding, you will always know, oh Krishna is so great and I'm so small. Even if you can chant a few rounds and know a few slokas, you're still small in relationship to Krishna. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Vakatish, I want to thank you very much and return your notebook for your pleasure. Thank you. This is mine. Thank you very much. It leads a little bit. Yes. So, dobro. So, when you develop nicely the Bhakti Lata Beach, the plant of Bhakti, a fruit will come, and this fruit will fall down to you here in this world. The Bhakti Lata Beach is growing through the mundane world. It is passing through, it is called Viraja, the river which separates the material from the spiritual world. It goes higher and higher. It will go through Brahman, the impersonal white light. It will enter the spiritual world where there are many Vaikuntha planets with Lord Vishnu on it. And if the gardener keeps on chanting and protecting the tree of devotional service, then this tree of devotional service will find a resting place at the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And once it finds a rest there in the spiritual world, it will develop a certain fruit. A fruit of love of Godhead, which will fall from the spiritual world into the material world. It will fall right into your heart. And this fruit will bring a certain perfection to you. This perfection is called your Siddha Deha, your original spiritual body will become a form, will become revealed to you. You will know who you are in the spiritual world. That is a fruit of love of Godhead. You will know your relationship with Krishna. You will, in this world, think always of Krishna. Never forget him. And you will already, while being in this world, be a perfected soul. The siddha means a perfected soul. You will be very happy. Then, this mystical plant, which has delivered a fruit to you, will take you and bring you one day to the spiritual world. And this is called the Vastu City. Vastu City means you will actually be in your spiritual identity and relate to Lord Krishna. There is nothing left of you in the material world. This drama is finished. This is the description which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami, and it is around this description where Sanatana Goswami wrote many books, for instance the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and so on. It is this description which remains a guideline to the devotees of this world, and we will certainly think about this description from time to time as we go into very, very practical aspects of developing the plant of devotion. I have brought my seminar with me, and I think you will become very, very happy with this seminar, because it will be extremely practical. I only wanted to give you a little framework so that the discussions which we have will make sense, and that you will always know why this rule is there, why this dynamic process is there, and so on, that you will feel convinced with your intelligence, because I have heard that our Persian devotees are all professors and doctors of the spiritual science, and therefore I'm prepared this like this. Let us again go a little bit to the example of developing our full potential. We said that a person who does not follow spiritual life is like a bud. Huh? When he begins to follow the rules and regulation of bhakti, his consciousness opens and he becomes comes into the blooming state of consciousness. At that time, the devotee will develop wonderful qualities, and it is these qualities which a devotee develops which will attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like a flower develops a certain fragrance and a certain scent, which attracts a bee. In the same way, the devotee in this world will develop many wonderful qualities which will attract Madhusudan, the bee of Lord Krishna. And Krishna will come and visit this devotee regularly. Krishna is very attached to his devotees, and Lord Krishna wants to take and relish the nectar of the devotion which is there in the hearts of his devotees. When your heart has no devotee qualities, Krishna is not attracted to you. You may be a football star or a rich man or whatever, In Persia we also have football. People are so crazy for football here also. Yeah, oh, Krishna. In Germany they are incredible crazy for football. But you need to develop other qualities to really attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Madhusudan. He's a bee who likes the honey of the qualities of his devotees. Huh? When you sing nicely for Krishna, Krishna will be attracted to the devotion which is in there. When you can manage nicely for Krishna, Krishna is only attracted to the devotion which is there. When you can chant nicely, Krishna is attracted to the devotion which is in the chanting. I think in Persia we have these beautiful saffron flowers, which smell so beautiful. Huh? I have received many gifts of saffron, which I have given to Radha Madan Mohan. Radha Madan Mohan, I think, are very happy about the Persian devotees' saffron, which they always give through different devotees and so on. Yes, Lord Krishna, in a similar way, likes the saffron-colored hearts of the devotees, and he wants the fragrance of bhakti in there. He is only interested in this. We cannot offer Krishna anything else than our bhakti. He likes bhakti only. Krishna. Yes. I want to end this seminar, or this today, by two things. I want to describe that there, after developing love of Godhead, prema, there are other stages which are called sneha, mana, pranaya, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. These stages develop almost like sugar, which develops when you take sugar cane and boil it in a big pan. You first have to... our spiritual advancement can be best can best be summarized with with this example. See, ultimately, what do we wish in our spiritual life? We want to become enjoyable for Krishna. We want that Lord Krishna has pleasure in us. That is the perfection of spiritual life. We want that God enjoys us. And an example which could be found for this is the winning of sugar in India. Who of you visited Mayapur? Oh, good. And Vrindavan, some of you also? Very good. Dwarkadish also.
I was there. Two, 3 weeks ago.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry.
He was not initiated at that time. He was damaged. In the night you gave darshan to Persian devotees.
And
in that flat in MVP.
Yeah.
Oh. He just got initiated from Bhaktisar Dandana. He was damaged.
I vaguely remember. You had different... Huh?
Yes, a little...
Shorter. Maybe that is why I don't recognize you. Yes, now I do think I needed this help. And in Mayapur, and also Vrindavan, you find how they make sugar. They take sugar cane, put it into these big, big pots, and then they boil it, and boil it more until it becomes molasses. Then they boil it more, and at the end they put a little sugar in it, and then the whole thing crystallized. And so on. I once saw in Mayapur, there was a Mataji She wanted to drink the nice sweet sugar cane juice, and she drank it. She was on parikrama. And then she drank, and it went into her head, and she fell into the sugar cane bottle. So it's a bit like from here to here. And we were all laughing. And the Mataji said, "Oh, now you are very sweet, Mataji." And all the bees came, all the mosquitoes came. But in Krishna consciousness, we actually have a desire to become sweet for Krishna. For Krishna, but this is not that we jump into the pot of molasses. We have to develop the sweetness of love in our heart. And just like love becomes, it's not an external thing, it's a thing of the heart. It becomes sweeter and sweeter and molasses until it is hard, rock, candy, sugar. Then the devotee's heart is very sweet for the enjoyment of Lord Krishna. That is what we want. We want to become enjoyable for Krishna. This is the perfection of our life. And when we actually give pleasure to Lord Krishna, at such a time, the greatest obstacle for our spiritual growth goes away. Who can imagine the greatest obstacle? It's a difficult question, I know. Please think.
Who is the greatest obstacle?
Yes, what is the greatest obstacle?
Mind.
Ourself. Mind. Ali said, ourselves. Ali always has the good answers. Ourselves, yes.
Enjoyer.
I am the feeling, I am the enjoyer. Mahajan becomes hopeless. These obstacles are very real. The greatest obstacle in our spiritual life, my dear devotees, is the ahankara, the ego. The ego is a very, very big obstacle. The ego has really, thank you, has really two aspects, I am and my. I am a good devotee, I am a, what else, I am a scholar, I am this and I am that, and this is my interest, my service, my guru sometimes. Devotees will quarrel. My guru is better than your guru. I have seen in India. The ego of mine is aham mameti. I am and my. These are the two. These two form the mountain of false ego, which is between us and Krishna. This one moment. This mountain has these two types of stones. It's not made. It's made of granite and of firm marble. Oh. Aham and mameti. This whole world is resting on the false ego. Our whole life is resting on false ego. The ego expands very, very much with this multi streams of I and mine. And in Krishna consciousness, we hope to transform this ego. So this concept of I and mine that we understand, I am a servant of Krishna and Krishna is mine. This is the transformation of the heart, means the transformation of I and mine. A big science, transformation of the heart. I have written a little book called The Art of Transformation, and if you wish to have it, we have brought, I believe, a few copies, and Gaura Hari could show you the book and you could see if you like the book and so on. The Art of Transformation. Yes. The growing of the plant of bhakti means the transformation of aham and mameti, I and mine. I will end my little talk by telling you a little story. Once, once there was a princess. She celebrated her 18th birthday. You are 18 years now. She was about this age. And at the end of the day, she was allowed to present her own poems to the best poets of the country. She danced up till the morning. There was one particular prince who, from the neighboring country, and people, they were dancing, and people were already talking. Oh good, our princess will marry the prince from the next country. There will be peace. In the morning, the princess went to bed at around 2 o'clock. And when she wanted to go to bed, she heard a voice. Let me free. Let me free. She thought, who is screaming so loud? Maybe some of the prisoners in the castle are screaming. But no, I have all set them free in the morning because it's my 18th birthday and I wanted to give them also a benediction. But let me go in the castle and see if I forgot someone. No, when she came, all the prison doors were open. Again she went up into her room, laid down in the bed, and again that voice came, let me free, let me free. She said, who are you that you are screaming so loud? And the voice came back, I am your true self. Nonsense. How do we say nonsense?
Bimani.
Nonsense. I am myself. There is no other self. I am not schizophrenic. I am not schizophrenic. But then the voice came back and said, what you think is yourself is only one of the millions of masks which you put upon yourself. Hare Krishna. I will not stop screaming until you finally let me free. I am your true self. Serious. This was very serious. The princess ran out of the palace in big terror. she thought she would, you know, run away from that disturbing voice. But no matter what she tried, she heard this voice, "Let me free! Let me free!" She was running through the night, "Let me free! Stop! 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 Let me free!" Finally, she was so tired, she fell down on the ground and immediately fell asleep. In the night, she had a dream. Would you like to know about the dream?
Of course.
Good. What she dreamt was, there was a little building. It looked like this, about double as high, and in the top there was one big gate and two big windows. It almost looked like a body. And down she saw that there was, down inside the building, she could see through the walls, she saw that there was a little person who was full of light and who looked very sad. The person was sitting like this. And as the princess looked at this person, their eyes met for the fraction of a second. And when their eyes met, she understood, "That's me." And she saw that there was a golden chain around the foot of that person. And the golden chain was fastened or tied to an iron ball. Hare Krishna. And then for a moment the person looked up, looked right into the eyes of the princess, and with tears in the eyes said, "Let me free. Please let me free." Do you know who this person was, whom the princess saw in the dream? Her true self, correct. You know everything. It was the true self who was screaming, "Let me free, finally let me free." At this moment she woke up. Doors are for closing. In the bathroom. Then she woke up, and as she woke up, she saw a sadhu coming out of the forest, and the sadhu said, "Did you hear the voice? Let me free." "Yes, I heard, but what is happening? What is all this? What does all of this mean?" And the sadhu said, "Come, we have to do some work." The sadhu brought the princess to a little lake, and there he said, "Look into the lake to see your face." The princess looked, and she expected to see a very nice face, because she looked very nice. She was a young princess. But what she saw shocked her. She saw a very ugly face. A face which was very, you know, vain. What is vain? Yeah, that you want to look very good in the... you put a lot of schminka. And, you know, very... vain and arrogant. The sadhu said, "Do you want to be that?" "No, no, no," said the princess. And the sadhu took his hand, went into the water, took the face and made like this. like you take a dry piece of paper, and that face was gone. Then the sadhu said, look again into the lake. And again there was another foolish face. 32 faces they took out on this day, which were all masks covering the true self. They worked for 1 month. Hare Krishna. Finally, the sadhu said, tomorrow is our last day and it will be the most difficult day. Most difficult? The princess thought, I'm very clear, I'm feeling very good now. So many masks have gone. And on that day, she again went to bed and again saw the dream. This time, she saw that what was her true self was already here, coming very close to the exit of the castle. It walked very fast. But then her true self was looking at her and said, tomorrow is the most difficult day. Please let me free. Let me free. I don't know what is happening. She woke up and there was the sadhu again. And he said, let's go now. Today I will ask you another question. Previously I have always asked you, do you want to be that? And you said no. But today is the day of your final test, and I will ask you, what are you? Or better, who are you? It's more difficult than, do you want to be that? She said, all right. She looked into the water. Yes, you look very nice. Everything looked so good. What is the problem? I see no problem. All of a sudden, she saw something. No! It was very shocking. She saw from the eyes many faces coming. Like a nightmare of faces. One after the other, after the other. And she could see as she looked down. These were all faces from previous lives. And the voice of the sadhu came. Who are you, princess? Answer this question. Who are you? Finally, she heard from inside a voice. That voice was very clear. The voice was in the beginning very soft, but it became louder and louder and even more louder. The voice said, I am a servant of Krishna. Haribol. And when she said this magical sentence, I am a servant of Krishna, all these faces exploded. And she became wet all over her face. Or maybe it were also the tears. It's difficult to say. Maybe it were the tears. it exploded, and the sadhu said, very, very nice. I'm very, very happy with you. You have understood. Very, very grateful to you. Now you must go around the world and find people who have heard this call. Let me free! Let me free! I believe all of you who have come to Kish are people who have heard this call. Let me free! Finally, let me free! You do not want to live behind behind the masks, you know, of false ego. This is too much. You do not want this type of life any longer. You want that there's real bhakti in your heart. Very, very nice ecstatic bhakti. And yes, from tomorrow we will tell you how to avoid, and you are all on the path of bhakti, but some of you have obstacles in their path, walls which they cannot cross, little or small mountains in the heart where they cannot go through, and so on. And from tomorrow onwards we will address all these points. It will be a little intense. Some of you will think, wow, this lecture was just given for me alone. And so on. We will work very hard. But for this to happen, I thought of something very special. See, when we come to Kish from any other place, we are naturally a little tired because there's so much oxygen. So today I thought we will just sing a little bit more, and after singing we will all go home and sleep. Is that a good idea? I think, because we really want to enjoy that, not enjoy, we want to feel pleasure when we sit together and when we always yes, it's good, but I really don't care any longer. I just want to go to bed, you know. I want to just stretch out, you know. So we will be very realistic today. We can have now a few questions. The golden chain is what we call anatta. Anatta is are these habits which we have, which we think are very valuable. We are very attached to them, but they are actually useless. Anatta means to think something to be full of value which is actually valueless. And these anattas are our attachments to the world. They are the ones who bind us. They look like gold, but they are really the cause of our imprisonment. They make us slaves. Do you now know how to capture a monkey? you take a pumpkin or a pot and put a nice roasted banana inside. The pot is tied to a tree, and then the monkey comes and goes in, and now he has a banana in the hand. It's no longer a little hand, but it's a big fist, and he cannot pull it out of the pot, and he is captured. For you and me, the solution to this problem would be very easy. Let go of the banana. Release the banana. But for the monkey, this is not possible. Because he is very much attached to the banana. So we all have our anattas, our bananas, and our habits which we think are very valuable. We are very attached to them. Our objects, you know, money, study, positions, and we do not recognize how these anattas keep us bound in the material world. Yeah, yeah. It's a golden chain. We think it's wonderful, but behind it is the iron ball, and we can't move any longer. Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me. During your sentences.
What is your good name, please?
Ashkon.
Ashkon, not Iskon, but Ashkon.
Yeah. Talk about the problems that can dry up the bhakti tree.
Yeah.
And I want to ask if someone doesn't have any desire to offend the Vaishnavism or the devotees of Krishna, but it's not under the control of that devotee,
mm-hmm.
for example, get angry for maybe for some relationships.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot control it, you know, but what really he doesn't want to make an offense, you know, and he doesn't have this desire to dry up that tree, and he really want to be good, but if that tree will dry up too or not.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Ashkan. I would like to pose the question a little differently. What makes an offense, or what makes something which is not right an offense? It's usually the intention to do bad. If there is the motivation to do bad, then this is an offense. But if there is not the motivation to do bad, but there's just something which is done out of accident, then this is not considered to be an offense. Let me give you an example. In a crowded room, after a crowded program, you may slip into the shoes of someone else and go, you know, home, and at home you notice, oops, these are not my shoes, you know. And the person is looking for the shoes, you know, but you didn't really want to steal his shoes or her shoes. Then this is a mistake, but it is not an offense. Or let us now come to an example which is a little bit more difficult, like the example which you have mentioned. Someone has a temperament which is very strong, you know, and he gets a little angry. Then if there is not this intention to do bad to someone, it's not really considered to be an offense. It's a mistake which still needs to be should be corrected after some time. We have to control our anger anyways, we have to learn it. You know, maybe we should ask ourselves the question, why am I so easily irritated? And we might find the answer, I'm too much under stress. That's why even a little thing just gets me very upset. It's a mistake, and mistakes should be corrected, but it's not an offense which destroys our bhakti.
But most of the time, we see that this job is not good. We see that we do a bad job, you know, but we cannot help it.
Well, if you advance in Krishna consciousness, you will learn to control the mind and the senses. That's an automatic byproduct. And if someone gets very angry, here's a very good way to deal with it, on the physical platform and then on the mental platform. On the physical platform, you may have to this person should not maybe eat so much. You know, when you are so full of food, especially highly spiced food, your pitta rises, that's a certain quality, your inner fire rises, and you become very easily angry. On the mental platform, or on the Sutta platform, what you can do against anger is there was a very good, let me just remember what it was. Yes, yes. You get, first of all, after you have become angry and you see, I really didn't do a good job, it was really bad, you should go to the person and say, please excuse me, I am very sorry for this. And in your mind, you should fix up a resolve, a resolution, how you will act next time when a similar situation comes. Maybe you became angry when you were seeing some situation which provoked your dissatisfaction, and then you formulated your response, nonsense, and you screamed. So go back in the and analyze what was the situation and how should I act in a better way next time. So then next time the situation comes, same situation in which you were boiling 2 weeks ago, and you remember, oops, there it is, the same situation. So this time I don't want to become angry at the person, and you have resolved 2 weeks ago, I will speak with that person and see if there are not better ways of acting in the circumstances. And then you do what you have, what you have, the determination which you had made. I want to give you an example which helped me very much. See, when I give lectures, I'm very, very sensitive to noises because I want my audience to concentrate. And when there's so much noise, I know the audience is distracted. So once I gave a lecture, and there were two people in the back who were all the time talking. And I was thinking, oh no, this is too much, you know. And I became very disturbed with them. So then I have finished the lecture, but there were so many people and I couldn't make a scene, you know. So I, at the end, walked out of the lecture room. And these two people came into my direction, and I thought, okay, if they say one little thing, they will know the quality of anger which is there in celibate monks. They really will get the thought. I will really let them know it. I would say something which they will not forget for the rest of their lives. They were coming closer and closer and closer, and I was really getting ready. Then one of the persons said, oh Maharaj, it was such a good lecture. Then I did not know what to say. You know, well, I said, you were talking the whole lecture. How can you say it was a good lecture? No, Maharaj. I was translating for my friend from Australia. And my friend very much liked the lecture. It was the first time he came to a Krishna conscious program and he really liked it. And I thought in my mind, I thought, oh, I'm very sorry. Please excuse me. I thought in my mind like this. And then I made a decision. Next time when people are noisy in the lecture, maybe I should not become so angry, you know. Maybe I should be more civilized, you know. I made this decision in my mind. Because I had seen a total different picture. And still now, when when there is noise, I think you could see I'm trying to deal with it responsibly, not get angry at anyone. This is a bit more the lesson of the two people. There's always a better way to react, and you need to practice that. Next time when you or someone for whom you are asking this question gets angry, you know, they should have done their homework where they were dealing with the anger in a better way before, and then act according to the program. Mm-hmm. You were saying service to God is always right, and Siddheshwari now wants to know, ask the question in context or in relationship to the other religions. Is it always the right direction in which the different religions offer their services? No, I understand. The question was more specific about other religions. They do not have the detailed knowledge which is there in the Vedas. Are they also going to the same place? No, everyone goes according to his faith, to a certain aspect of God. God is a very extended subject matter. It's a very big thing. There are those who, in the Vedic line, they may reach Lord Rama, who has a planet of a place of itself called Ayodhya Dham. It's in the Vaikuntha worlds. It's above Vaikuntha. There are those who go to Vaikuntha. These are the worshippers of Lord Narayan. There are also, the Christians also go to their specific destinations, and so do those who are good Muslims. I see a good Christian would feel, when he would be with Lord Krishna in his loving pastimes, he would feel, there's the Lord with a grey beard whom I have worshipped for all my life, you know. Krishna does not force anyone to go to him, but the reason why we as devotees of Lord Krishna when say that the Vedic teachings are the most elaborate in comparison to all other world religions is because here in the Vedic teachings we hear of a vast variety of relationships to God. In Christianity and other religion we might only find detailed knowledge about serving the Lord in this world, but there are other relationships. That's why we also think those who worship Lord Narayan, from our perspective, they lack in a few relationships. Lord Narayan, you can only worship. He never has we don't hear of his father or mother. Lord Narayan is the father and the mother of everyone, so there is no Vatsalya Rasa possible, nor can you play with Lord Narayan as an equal. Lord Narayan is the Lord in Vaikuntha, so there is not such a variety of relationships which we hear about. Prabhupada tells us how these relationships, these which are talked about in the Vedas, bring us into the very near closeness of love, the closeness of love. Or he says, he gives an example. We know that Krishna's friends ride on Krishna's shoulder sometimes. Krishna has to stand, there's one friend on the shoulder, then another friend is there, and they pick fruits. And they taste the fruits to decide if it's sweet enough to to give to the Lord. And then they hand the fruit down and they say, "Here, Krishna, good food. That's very good." So you can't climb on the shoulders of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. It is not possible. It would be considered to be an offense. If you touch a very important man with your feet, it's a very offensive. Ooh, who has a, and to touch God, to climb on God's shoulders, and in the process touch him with the feet is extremely offensive, you know. I believe in some times, if you would proclaim such a thing, you could lose your head in Europe, for instance. But still, this is a closeness of love, and in love, there is no offense taken for it. Prabhupada gives the example of a very, very well-known minister. His name was Mr. Gladstone. He was a foreign minister in the British government. Mr. Gladstone was once receiving another minister who had come from a foreign country just to have a meeting with him. So the minister arrived at the ministerial palace of Mr. Gladstone, and the servant told him he would have to wait. Mr. Gladstone is in a very important meeting. He waited for 1.5 hours. And then he thought, this is a little bit too much to wait for so long. And he very carefully looked into the room to find out what was the important meeting of Mr. Gladstone, which was so important that he could not be received. Do you know what he saw? He saw Mr. Gladstone on all the four, you know, on the knees and on the hands. His head was totally red because he made a great effort. He was running around the table on all his fours, and his little grandson was on top of him, said, "Faster, faster, faster." You old horse, faster, gallop please. Mr. Gladstone was totally enjoying it and was profusely sweating and so on. He didn't think this was an offense. You know, it was love. The grandson loved him and he loved his grandson. And then the minister immediately closed the door. I have looked into a sacred moment in the life of Mr. Gladstone. So after half an hour, Mr. Gladstone servant opened the door, and there Mr. Gladstone said, big minister, and he was very formal with the other minister. You know, he did not, I mean, if the other minister would have said, "Can I also ride on your back?" You know, it would not have worked. So yes, so this is a little bit in illustration how in the vicinity of love, what would be an offense somewhere else, in another relationship to God, is very much appreciated when there is a certain amount of closeness. Huh? You follow this example? So the Vedic scriptures knows of much more intimate relationships with the Lord even then, and therefore, according to the relationships, we consider that this is very high in this Krishna consciousness. That's our idea. But the others, we should never criticize them. If they do their religious practice nicely, then even we should encourage them to be in their practice. And we understand they're worshipping the same Lord as we do. with a different understanding and different knowledge and so on and so forth.
So right doesn't mean best. Yeah? Can we conclude like that?
Right does not mean... See, we as devotees of Krishna, we will not go around in the world thinking that what we do is the best. We will not do this. We know in our heart, yes, there are many varieties of relationships of rasas. We have five, they have one, das ras. But we understand there is a reason why there are these different religions. The reason is that these people may not be, they may be on this level of their advancement, and for them, this is the best. Yes, they are on this level, and for them is the best. Like when your Satya goes to, is he going already to school?
Kindergarten.
Well, but when she's in the first class, you will not think that another pupil will not think, I'm in the 10th class, it's as much better. No, for Satya, let her go to the first class. There is the knowledge she needs and so on. It's best for her. This is a very important question. How is it when we relate to other religions, when we relate to friends who have other eating habits and eat meat, for instance, to our parents and so on and so forth. See, the general understanding is a devotee and is a gentleman. A gentle means friendly towards other people. That is a general that's a general basic line which we have, and Srila Prabhupada, for instance, used to tell his devotees they should have a nice relationship to their parents. They should be grateful that they have been afforded with the human form of life. He once had a discussion he once gave an initiation ceremony to Brahmananda, who comes from a Jewish family. And the mother was very much against this, because she thought my son should follow the Jewish belief system. So Prabhupada invited the mother to come to the initiation ceremony. She was a cultured person, and after the initiation he said to Brahmananda, now you should pay your most humble obeisances to your mother, because she has given you the human form of life. Brahmananda went to the mother and bent down, and you can imagine, mother was all, phew, what is happening? Yes, yes. Then Prabhupada said, so your son is now initiated, and it's customary that the parents give a donation to the spiritual master at the time of initiation. So this was a Jewish mother, and Jews are a bit stingy, you know, like Scottish people also. And she, you know, and then the mother said, Swamiji, I have already given you my son. That's enough, you know. And Prabhupada said, Haribol! You have just given your son to me. The mother said, oh yes. You follow the subtle point? Now she had given the son at the time of the initiation to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada very tactfully in this example got the permission of the mother so that the son could follow the path of Krishna consciousness. He very cleverly got it understanding well ethnic background. Yes. So yes, this is the general understanding that we should be. When there is a discussion about religion, you have to be very, you have to analyze the person with whom you are discussing. If that what he follows is all and all for him, and you can judge he is not prepared to go beyond the particular system in which he is practicing religion, then you should not at all upset his mind. Not at all. You should encourage the mind. But if you find that someone in a certain religious system is really interested to understand the spiritual truth behind it, then you can answer the questions. But as a general rule, we should never upset the mind. See, we can follow Krishna consciousness because we have all this sambandha jnana, this knowledge of, we have heard all this. That's why, you know, when I, from tomorrow onwards, I will give very strong spiritual instructions which will help you to overcome the obstacles. But before that, I had to establish the ground on which I'm working, the philosophical groundwork. And you know it, therefore you can will be able to follow the instructions and will find them very helpful. But maybe someone who doesn't have accepted the philosophical groundwork, he couldn't derive the same benefit from spiritual instruction. And you know, but of course when someone, so let us say someone of your friends eats meat, then you have to see, you can politely mention about health and so on, but if you find out the person is not willing to go even so far as to consider health considerations, then better don't get further. But you know, here is his granica. Granica means his border, and you must respect a person's border. You will only have a struggle or quarrel if you go over someone's border without his invitation. I remember I had to learn personally very much on this. I was going on the street and I was calling the people chicken eaters, meat eaters. Your body is a graveyard. You are a walking graveyard. And, you know, people would get upset with me. And I thought, then I wrote to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I'm preaching just like you, but I have so much problems." there were times when I would preach and there would be hundreds of people coming around me and on the street, because I was creating such an uproar that the traffic would not be able to pass, and the police would come and say, "Please, traffic cannot pass." "I don't care. May this whole civilization, which is a rotten civilization," you know, and I was there. And then I noticed, "Oh, Krishna." So I wrote Prabhupada what to do. And he said, you may be preaching like me, but you are not me. Was making everyone upset. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Her question is regarding morning session.
Yes.
Bhakti by the Padre. He said that the price we should pay for bhakti very
eagerness.
Yeah.
How we can get this eagerness and how we can maintain this eagerness?
Very good question. What is your good name?
Mehnush.
Mehnush.
There's an H between M and R.
Mehnush. Mehnush. That's a very nice name. How can we... Once a god brother of mine, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, came back from Africa. And he said he was talking about eagerness in Africa. He was talking about the eagerness which expresses itself in tears in the eyes. Oh Krishna, crying, crying for Krishna. And the African people asked, how will we ever learn this? To cry for Krishna. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, well, you must meet someone who cries. Then you start crying. Have you noticed you are a Mataji? Mataji sometimes cry easily. When you are with another Mataji, and the Mataji goes like, boo, boo, and you know, it's really, really intense, you know, then you also feel that tears are coming. Have you noticed? You become highly influenced. I often, when I preach in the West, I know this about Matajis. They come to me and tell me all what goes wrong, and I have already my little thing ready, you know. A certain Mataji thing, and then I give this so that. Yes, in the same way, we have to meet someone who is really eager, who only cares for Krishna and who only wants to get Krishna, and then our heart becomes moved and we feel, yes, very good, let me do the same. It's a good answer, isn't it? It's immediately we can understand this. Yes, immediately we can understand. Therefore it's very important to have good devotee association. If we call Krishna.
My sweet Krishna.
My sweet Krishna, yeah.
Is it again?
False ego. This is a very difficult question. Let me approach your question from a different perspective. We should never do something in Krishna consciousness which is beyond our level of advancement. We should be authentic. We should be natural. If we imitate someone else's bhakti and it's not yet in our heart, that is not good. That is a general rule. What it is, it could be sentimentalism, it could be many other things which are the cause of this. Yeah. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees,